Thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, woe to the complacent in Zion. That's how the prophet Amos, the reading began this morning. Woe to the complacent in Zion. When we take that and connect it with the gospel and the readings we've had these last few weeks about this cost of discipleship and how we can't serve God and mammon, and how Jesus is trying to instruct and correct the Pharisees, who he called the lovers of money, we take a good examination of ourselves and we ask ourselves, have we become complacent in the practice of our faith? Because what was the sin of the man in the gospel? What caused him to be condemned to hell? And he did go to hell. Now, earlier this week, the office staff, had a morning of reflection. And a priest came in and preached a little retreat for us. And part of his presentation was the signs of a vibrant and healthy parish. And one of the signs, he said, is the fullness of the gospel preached. Have the preachers gotten in the habit of just tickling ears, making the people feel comfortable so they can get a good message and go on with their week feeling good about life? Are the challenging words of the gospel preached? Are our hearts pierced, our consciences pierced? Do we have a healthy fear of responding well to the call of the gospel? The gospel today gives us this opportunity to reflect upon that, the fullness, that regardless of what you might hear in the world, especially maybe from other Christian churches, everyone doesn't get to go to heaven. Everyone can, but it's not guaranteed. The gospel today is clear about that. And so what was his sin? What prevented him from going to heaven? It doesn't say that he was a greedy man, or he was an embezzler or a thief. He was a rich man who lived a comfortable life. When I hear this passage, I'm reminded of a little quote from this priest I know in Spain. He says that the softness of materialism leaves us incapable of sacrificial love. And it's sacrificial love that gets us to heaven. We become like Christ, who died on the cross. The softness of materialism, the complacency that comes with having everything taken care of for us. This is what was wrong when Amos was prophesying in 700 whatever before the age of Christ. And this is what Christ was preaching about. And this is the same theme that we hear throughout. Why Mother Teresa was so great. Why the great saints who choose to live in poverty, a simple life. What is it about that? But have we become complacent in the practice of our faith? Have we allowed the ease of our economy to blind us to the needs of those closest to us? Lazarus wasn't in some foreign country that we were going to send money to a missionary to take care of him. He was at his gate, at his front door. Who are the people in your life who are so close to you that you've allowed yourself to become blind to their needs? And definitely we can look at this in an economic sense, because there's a true reading of that. The scandal of how many thousands of children die of poverty and hunger every day when we lie on beds of ivory and drink wine from bowls. That reality is there. But remember, Christ is speaking to the Pharisees. These lovers of money, but these protectors of the faith, these men who are charged with sharing that which is most important to the men and women at their gate who are dying, covered in sores. The greatest gift, the saving truth of Jesus Christ. How many people in your life, in your family, are dying because they haven't heard the saving message of Jesus Christ, the fullness of the gospel, that for which they really long and need. Because Jesus says, what does it matter if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? He wasn't condemned because he was rich. And Lazarus wasn't saved because he was poor. Have we prayed for the grace, for a deepening of our faith? Have we prayed for a grace to have the eyes of our hearts opened to those around us? When Mother Teresa visited America, she said there's a greater poverty here than there ever could be in India. The poverty of the soul. People are dying, spiritually dying. This rich man could not see Lazarus. He was blind. We can say Lazarus maybe died of loneliness, of being ignored, of not being seen. There's an epidemic of loneliness in our own world today. Studies abound, especially with middle-aged men who have no friends. The world is blind to them. I mean, the jokes are made when we go out in public, you go to the restaurants, everyone's neck is craned looking at their devices. We're blind to the people around us. Have we allowed the softness of our lives, the ease of technology, and the abundance of money to blind us to the greatest need around us? The second reading today from St. Paul to Timothy is the end of his first letter to Timothy. And we know Timothy was like a priest, and he was ordained. And so this letter that St. Paul wrote was like a bishop to his priest, giving him the instruction on how to maintain and govern his and rule and teach and to be the priest for his community. And so we get the end of that letter today. And the reading we had in the lectionary says, but you, men of God, pursue righteousness. But it skipped a phrase. It says, but you, men of God, avoid all this. Avoid what? Avoid the love of money. That's what he's talking about. He's instructing his priest to avoid the love of money, which is the root of all evil, is what he says. Those who want to be rich are falling into temptation and into a trap, into many foolish and harmful desires which plunge them into ruin and destruction. What happened to the rich man in the gospel? For the love of money is the root of all evils. And some people in their desire for it have strayed from the faith and have pierced themselves with many pains. This is what St. Paul was warning Timothy, his priest. And so when we look at the rich man from the gospel and the men who were complacent in Amos's prophecy, we can't help but maybe think about the condition of the church and how many bishops are living opulent and cardinals living opulent lives and priests living soft and comfortable lives. Why we have this scandal in the church today? Have these men who've been charged with leading the flock been feeding off of the flock? Why is there a scandal? Because we, the priests, haven't taken this teaching seriously. And this is why I always beg for prayers. Pray for me. Pray for your priests. The devil is real. Hell is real. And the devil wants to destroy the church and to destroy each one of us, destroy our families. But St. Paul doesn't end with the doom and the gloom. He gives hope. He gives the way out. Pursue virtue. So pray for your priest to be virtuous, but pray for yourselves. You, men and women of God, avoid all this. Pursue virtue. He said, fight for the faith. Pursue the faith. Keep up the good fight. Fight as to win the faith. Like the Olympic athletes. Fight for the faith. And he says, I charge you before God to keep the commandment, to be obedient to Holy Mother Church. What does she ask of us? What has she placed before us as the minimum standard to be a practicing Catholic? Are we doing that? Do we come to Mass every Sunday and Holy Day? Do we get here before the bell rings? And do we stay to the final blessing? That's what Mass is. If you miss that, then you have to examine your conscience. Have I really gone to Mass? Am I keeping the minimum standard? Do I fast when the church asks me to fast? Do I go to confession on a regular basis? Do I receive the Eucharist in a state of grace? And then do I support the church with my time, talent, and treasure in whichever way I can? Do I support my family and the good that she does? These are the minimum standards that Mother Church asks of her children. Why? To keep us from being complacent. To keep us from lying on beds of ivory and drinking wine from bowls and forgetting the truth. That if we gain the whole world and lose our soul, we go to hell. And it's not, again, it's not to scare us. It's not to give us the gloom and doom. But it's the reality. And we all know it. If we've ever taken the time to sit in silence before our Lord, we know He has the answer. And whatever is out there is nonsense. But it's deceiving. And it's tempting. And it draws us in and away from the gospel. We pray for the grace to have our hearts and our minds opened to the saving truth of Jesus Christ, that we were dead in our sin, but because of the cross, we now have access to the Father, and we can live the abundant life now. That we don't have to wait for heaven to be in heaven. That we can enjoy the fruits of the gospel, the fruits of eternal life now. Men and women, brothers and sisters of God, avoid all these things. Pursue righteousness, fight for the faith, and keep the commandments. Amen.